Right, guys. Saudi delivers again on, off, and around the track. Literally around, all around the track.
Yeah, I delivered a little bit of everything.
Yeah, so we had action on the track.
It was international crisis.
Yeah.
Amazing racing.
That's what I'm saying. Around the track, what, 5 kilometers away or whatever you had?
A little further than that, like 7 miles, but still too close for comfort.
Yeah, you had shit on fire, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, Saudi was lit.
Yeah, it was. Saudi was on fire this weekend.
Fucking Raikkonen! What a fucking idiot!
Come on, get that McLaren out of here. This guy is a fucking joke.
With 5 laps remaining, so we need to keep this pace up.
Hey man, don't talk to me through the corners. He just went off.
Going to retirement. Tony man, I'm vomiting. Going here, I'm vomiting. I'm going to drive.
Understood. Stop.
This is Purple Sector, Helmut and Rye Guy on the mics. Howdy, Rye Guy. Yeah.
Good to be back in studio.
Welcome back. So remember, gang, hit us up 904-8-PURPLE. That's 904-878-7753 to slide into our voicemails and or text, I guess you can send.
Or DMs.
Yeah, voicemails or text that way. I guess that's sort of phone DMs, and then at Purple Sector Pod on social media is our actual social media DMs, so hit us up that way.
Voicemails are encouraged. They're the most fun.
Yeah, and as we've said, make sure to identify yourself if you're coming in from the top rope, you know, because we recently have gotten some just random texts.
Mystery
texts. We have no idea who the hell they are, and some fire texts that we've been getting. But, Ryan, speaking of fire... You know, in the practice session, it was on Friday, right? In between the first and second practice session?
It happened, I could be wrong on this, but I think the missile strike happened during FP1. Because and you can see the smoke in the background when they're going down one of the straights.
Yeah, so was it a missile? Because then I was hearing on Sky, they were trying to claim it was a drone thing. Like, really?
Who knows?
Someone's able to fly drones into Jeddah? Like...
Here's the thing, okay? They have Patriot missiles in Jeddah, okay? Patriot missile batteries that are supposed to be a countermeasure for shit like that happening. And those Patriot missile batteries are successful all the time in taking down missile strikes in Jeddah, in Riyadh,
that's what
on
I was
the
saying.
Southern border.
The same thing happens in Riyadh where they try and bomb the airport.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. So when the Saudis say that, don't worry, the track is, our families are here. That's how safe it is. We brought our families, is what they're saying. And they're saying, don't worry, that's just an oil facility. This is the track. You're safe here.
It was so funny.
Isn't that oil refinery important to them?
Yeah. It was really funny when they were talking about, like, we had all these people from different military agencies and everyone in Saudi reassuring us. Like,
I thought the family angle was so funny to me. Like, that wouldn't give me any comfort. Like, family tragedies happen all the time.
Right.
You brought your family? Good for you.
Right, and you were mentioning on Twitter, and it makes sense, right? It's not necessarily that they would bomb the track, but, like, you never know what the fuck will happen when countermeasures go up or if it was a drone, you know? Shit can go wrong really quick, and shrapnel and random stuff can hit different areas, so...
They're called Houthi rebels, not Houthi gentlemen. They're not out to be the nice guy.
Well, they made the news, and that's what I'm sure they wanted to do.
Oh, this weekend was a big win for the Houthi rebels. Huge win.
Yeah, they got a lot of eyeballs. So let's talk, Ryan, before the weekend even began.
Who had a bigger win this weekend, the Houthi rebels or Max Verstappen?
Yeah. What was on the podium? Did Red Bull not send a Houthi rebel up onto the the podium as a representative?
Sounds like you're saying Houthi Red Bull.
Yeah, Houthi Red Bull. That's a good point. Instead of rebels, they were Red Bulls.
Yeah.
The Red Bulls and the rebels had a big weekend in Saudi.
Jesus Christ.
So, Ryan, setting up the weekend, Nico Hülkenberg was back in for Sebastian Vettel. That was confirmed. And it was good to see him back out there. He actually got some screen time on the race weekend because he ended up way out of position after a red flag or a virtual safety car.
Yeah, definitely good to see Hulk in the car yet again another weekend. But
he's also a very candid guy, which we can appreciate. He's very honest. He likes to spew on the radio and in interviews, right?
Yeah, I mean, Seb Vettel has long been known as one of the funniest personalities in F1.
I miss Vettel, man.
Nico Hülkenberg, though, is sneaky funny too, man. Yeah. I think he doesn't get enough credit.
A couple German comedians, who knew?
Yeah, I want to bring up real quick the tweet that Aston Martin put out when they confirmed that Seb was not going to make it. It literally reads like Larry wrote it in anger about Seb.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find it real quick.
Yeah, dig that one up. I had some other comments I wanted to dive into just while you're looking it up, Ryan. I wanted to analyze, because I was thinking about this, Sainz versus Danny Ricciardo's career arc. Like, Carlos Sainz has had an epic career arc, right?
Yeah.
He was a Red Bull junior. Then he entered, you know, Renault and all these different teams. And he has managed to, based on his skill, climb his way up into Ferrari. You know, the pinnacle. Granted, they're not always the pinnacle in terms of performance. This year, they look like they might be,
mm-hmm.
team-wise. But he's made his way up. I feel like Ricciardo is going the opposite direction, right? The guy was a Red Bull junior who made his way into Red Bull, was winning races, getting, you know, pole positions, and now has sort of started floundering downwards. You know, he had a moment in Renault, then he goes to McLaren. They look like they're on the come up, but like Danny Rick, it feels to me, I'm worried because we've always said if he ever won a driver's championship, he would be an iconic character. But he feels like he's almost racing his way out of F1 while Carlos Sainz is racing his way into lore in history, you know?
Yeah, I would agree. Danny's got to figure something out. It's kind of just, you're right, it's just been a downward slope,
right,
from when he left Red Bull.
Right.
Like,
that's
he got
what
a couple,
I worry about.
A couple podiums at Renault, but that's really all he can hang his hat on since he left Red Bull.
Here's another question. I know we have a lot of Drive to Survive fans out there because everyone's a Drive to Survive fan. But remember, it always takes like a few races and then they say, okay, Drive to Survive is confirmed. They're doing it again. We haven't heard anything this year. Are they going to do it? What's your take? Do you think they're going to do Drive to Survive again this season?
I think
they have to. I think they're so married to Drive to Survive.
Yeah, but they're going to have a conversation from F1 about stop drumming up so much artificial drama.
Right, because they're losing a lot of the drivers, right? Verstappen is a very vocal...
Yeah, that's a key part of it. If enough drivers boycott, you know, doing interviews on the show and all that, they're going to have no material. The only drivers you're going to be able to talk about are like the guys at the fucking back.
Right. Yeah.
All right, so I dug up the tweet. You ready for this?
Please.
All right, so when... I believe this was on Thursday, late Thursday, early Friday, Aston Martin finally acknowledged officially that Seb wasn't going to make it. So this is the tweet. It says, hashtag Saudi Arabian GP update. It says, Nico Hülkenberg will practice, qualify, and race alongside Lance Stroll. Then it goes on to say, despite lack of mileage in the Aston Martin, Nico coped well in Bahrain, and we are sure he will do likewise in Jeddah. We expect Sebastian Vettel to be fit for the Australian Grand Prix. That's the tweet. There's so many ultimatums in that tweet. That's why I think Larry actually wrote it.
Right. Like, he will do well.
Right here it
says, how well can you do in an Aston Martin?
Tell me
Martin
this doesn't
right
sound like a bossy ultimatum right here. Nico coped well in Bahrain, and we are sure he will do likewise in Jeddah. That's an ultimatum. Next one. We expect Sebastian Vettel to be fit for the Australian Grand Prix. Another ultimatum. Seb could be sick as a fucking dog in 2 weeks still.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I'm excited to see Seb back on the
grid.
Do
you agree or disagree? It sounds like Larry fucking wrote that.
Oh, yeah, it does. I mean, it's the same way we've joked about that he gave a five-year plan, like we need to win a championship in 5 years. Now he's demanding that Seb performs well in Australia after being off, you know, on the sidelines for the first two races.
Yeah, I got a kick out of that. As soon as I saw it, I was like, Larry fucking wrote this.
So let's move on to practice, Ryan. We mentioned, obviously, a missile, drone, whatever hits the oil refinery in between the first two practices at some point.
No big deal.
Yeah, NBD. we were making jokes that Seb was probably over there fighting the fire. He loves grabbing fire extinguishers and fighting fires on the car, so he's probably picking up trash. So he was probably picking up the the disaster that was the oil refinery attack. One thing I noticed, Ryan, another note, on the Ferrari, they're sponsored by Estrella Galicia, the Spanish beer.
Yep, that's one of Carlos' sign sponsors.
Exactly. He's obviously the Spaniard, so they have that. But they've all the cars that have beer sponsors have always pushed the 0.0, either Heineken or Estrella or anything else.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting that in this race I noticed, because you saw it on the camera behind like Leclerc's head and Sainz's head, they blacked out even Estrella, so it couldn't even say the brand name. It just said 0.0.
Yeah, which is interesting because obviously Saudi is a dry country, but they still sell near beer.
Right.
In Saudi.
Yeah, they have fake Budweiser and all kinds of stuff.
My guess is that one of the princes or someone in the royal family has, you know, the monopoly.
There's another interest, yeah.
Yeah, well, they probably only import a certain brand, and that's why. And it's not Estrella Galicia.
Yeah, so that was interesting. They were blacked out entirely. Right guy, Gordon Ramsay was spotted in practice. Was he in the Mercedes garage?
Red Bull.
Oh, he was in the Red Bull garage?
Yeah, by the way.
I'm shocked we didn't see him again then.
Talk about a celebrity picking the wrong fucking race to travel to.
Yeah, Gordon Ramsay. So Gordon Ramsay was in the garage. The only other notes I had in free practice 3, Ryan, Verstappen was pushing so hard. He was like all over the curbs. Like the guy was champing at the bit.
He was.
To have a result here in the second race after Red Bull had a double DNF in the first race in Bahrain.
I mean, you bring up something that I was thinking about watching the practice sessions and even the quali is right now this early in the season with, you know, these cars still being pretty green with these new aero regs. It's really like the pace is only coming to the drivers that are comfortable in the car. Otherwise, everyone else is uncomfortable in these cars. Hamilton, fucking Mick Schumacher is definitely not comfortable in his car.
Yeah.
Only the guys that are really getting comfort are finding the pace, and that's Max and Leclerc.
And people, I don't know that there's much pace to find for the Mercedes powered cars because at the end of free practice 3, you had all Mercedes powered cars in the bottom 10.
Yeah. And that's like a theme that was throughout the weekend.
And we've talked about how Toto's phone must be ringing off the hook because now you have the engines being frozen. And if you're a Mercedes customer, could we see a mass exodus from Mercedes power? Like, I don't know what the contracts are, but wouldn't you want to, if you're frozen, but you can get out of a contract and suddenly pick up a Ferrari or a Red Bull powertrain? I don't know how willing Red Bull would be to give their powertrain to anyone outside of the AlphaTauri Red Bull family, but wouldn't you imagine everyone would want to get the fuck out of the Mercedes power game?
You're onto something. I mean, the freeze is pretty long. The engines don't get redone until the freeze is through 2025, right? So, yeah, you might see some teams. I mean, contracts are contracts, but there's plenty of ways to get out of contracts. There's probably performance clauses in there for the Mercedes customers, some of them, saying, hey, if this engine turns to shit, we're out of here.
Right. I mean, they can't even race, most of these teams. Like,
would you go
Williams and Aston Martin don't have a fucking prayer this season.
Would you go Ferrari? If you were to switch from Mercedes, would you go Ferrari or would you go Red Bull powertrains?
Dude,
Red Bull powertrains.
Don't sleep on Alpine, by the way, because they have no customers outside of Alpine.
I know, but do you roll the dice? Red Bull powertrain seems to have the edge on power, but it's way riskier. The reliability is like...
I also don't know how willing Red Bull would be to, you know, power other teams outside of AlphaTauri themselves.
That's true, but if the price is right...
But I think we're sleeping on Alpine as well, because they used to supply a handful of teams on the grid, and now everybody has left because McLaren was their last customer.
Yeah.
Right?
And they look somewhat stronger.
And they look much stronger. I think a lot of it has to do with their driver lineup. We've always said, I think, if you go top to bottom, I think Alpine and Ferrari have probably the strongest driver lineups, right?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I don't know. Red Bull's is pretty good, too.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to... Yeah, so, exactly. I mean, Checo gets pole here. Spoiler alert.
Let's not sleep on Mercedes just from a driver lineup standpoint.
That's true.
George and Lewis...
I mean, with Georgie there, for sure.
George and Lewis is a disgusting lineup.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. All right, let's play some of these audio clips I pulled from
practice. Had some action in practice.
So we'll go first to Hulkenberg because it's just a reminder that he's been out of F1 for almost 2 years. And he's still very green. His neck is killing him. Listen to this clip.
Yeah, and he's sneaky funny, too.
Let me know aero balance.
I don't know. I'm busy driving.
Yeah, like he has to focus so much on his driving, he can't give feedback to the pit wall.
Yeah, they're just looking for anything, and he's like, no, I'm driving. I'm just out here driving, pal. Yep. Just out for a weekend stroll.
Yeah, true.
Weekend Larry stroll in the Aston Martin.
And then this next clip in free practice 3, Pierre Gasly had some issues with his car on pit exit. So he got out of the car and was pushing it back to the pits by himself. So this is a funny clip.
There you
go,
Pierre pushing it back.
They are heavy. 800 kgs.
800 kilos this year.
I hope he's been doing his training. He has. Bit of momentum going.
Imagine, I was in the gym this morning.
Are you benching 800 kgs?
Mate, I can barely lift 8.
That's Will Buxton, by the
8
way.
Kilograms.
That's Will Buxton, just confirming what we already knew. He's a puny dude.
Yeah, can barely lift 8 kilograms. Ryan, should we head to qualifying now?
Not kilograms, kgs. Kgs.
Yeah, kg.
Quality time.
Quality time, Ryan. So I noticed in the broadcast, it looked stunning. Were those new lights on the shoreline showing the waves crashing? I feel like last year we didn't notice.
I think so.
I think those were new, but that was a good look, right? Give you more context for where it is.
It was, but you said something in our race preview that I agree with now after this race weekend. You said this track is way more interesting looking when the sun is up.
It looks stunning in the daytime with a little sunlight.
Those sessions that were during the day are way cooler to watch than the night stuff.
Because you don't notice the high rises. You don't notice the lagoon in the middle. You don't notice the sea on the side. You know,
right.
If they did more of an Abu Dhabi style, like racing dusk into sun, into, you know, darkness,
day
I think
dusk.
that would be a much nicer setup. But who knows? Ryan, other action, Latifi was Latifiing all weekend. He went into the wall in Q1, brought out a red flag.
Yep, which we predicted in our race preview. I think multiple times we said Latifi will find
a wall. Yeah,
there
was a lot of talk of Latifi will find a way to find a wall, you know?
So he caused a red flag.
Yeah.
And during the red flag.
And I think there were 5 minutes or so left when he caused it in Q1.
Yeah, so I got a kick out of this. As soon as Leclerc got back to his garage, he immediately asked his race engineer this question.
What? Oh,
play
sorry.
The clip.
Do I have time to go to the toilet or not?
So Poople Sector is back, baby.
Poople Sector is back. You only ask that question if it's a number two.
Yeah.
You're not getting out of the car.
Oh, you know you have time to pee, right?
Oh, there's always time to pee,
dude.
You
can pee in your race suit like Nico Rosberg always talks about. You know?
Yeah. I do like that, though. The instant the red flag goes up, he's like, hey, man, can I go pinch one off?
Do I have time to go to the toilet or not?
Or not.
I'm telling you, man, that Middle Eastern food will get to you.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into it later, but Gasly may have had some bad shawarma as well. So, Ryan, it was interesting. At the end of Q1, Lewis obviously was struggling. Later, Toto said that they did an aggressive setup with his car, which obviously didn't pan out.
Yep, and Lewis admitted it was, he basically admitted it was his fault. After quali, he was like, yeah, he's like, I made some aggressive decisions with setup. It had the complete opposite effect of what we were going for. So Lewis pigeonholed himself.
Yeah, and it was wild because Lewis was right on the edge of being the last person into Q2. And then Lance Stroll comes around the corner, the last opportunity to knock him out, and knocks him out of Q1.
Fucking surfing.
If anyone had told you, anyone with a crystal ball, I told you that Lance Stroll at some point this season would knock Lewis Hamilton out of Q1, you would just laugh in their face.
Yeah, especially after the first race when you got a sense for where Aston was. You know?
Yes.
So, Ryan, the Q1 exits, Lewis Hamilton, first man out, then Alex Albon, Nico Hülkenberg, Nick Latifi, and Yuki Tsunoda, who never actually got out there, right?
Yeah, Yuki had a shit weekend. He literally
never came to Saudi, basically.
He could have stayed at home.
Yeah.
What's interesting is McLaren in quali. Where's the pace coming from? They must have figured something out.
Yeah, they almost made it into Q3. The other fun
both
stuff.
Both of them.
Yeah, exactly. They're both the first two out in Q2 to miss Q3.
Yeah, so this theme is showing up again, by the way, with Mercedes power. If not for Yuki's reliability issues, it would have been all Mercedes engines getting knocked out in Q1.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan, it was fun to see also in Q2. It was like a NASCAR race where Pierre Gasly's floor, he must have hit the curb or something, and the right side of his car was kind of like dragging.
It was messed up.
Yeah, and so they had extra time with all the red flags and stuff, and they had the duct tape out, and they're duct taping his floor back on.
I know. I love F1 because it's such cutting-edge technology. It's some of the smartest minds on the planet, and the engineering is sick. I love it when they have to resort to primitive ass shit.
Yeah, where they're just duct taping and hair blow drying. Yeah,
duct tape and a heat gun, and they're like, get back out there.
Yeah. So, and then after that, Ryan, the big happenings on Saturday, Mick Schumacher had the huge wreck Q2, brought out the red flag. He got dragged out of the car. It was a wild scene, right? He had the neck brace on.
I was worried.
Well, when you have these tight tracks like this, right, when you have a wreck, you kind of pinball all over the place. And I agree, right. They were making the point that where he hit was probably beneficial because he didn't have much travel before he kind of hit the barrier.
Yeah, but that was the entirely concrete portion of that wall. No tire barrier there.
Right, but he pinballs around. Then they put the neck brace on him, and they're like dragging him out of the car by the neck brace, the marshals, and then he got ambulanced over to a helicopter and sent to the hospital. But
well, all the scary signs were there, though, that it was a bad wreck because they only did a long shot. They didn't want to get up close.
No audio, no coverage.
They cut to the pits. They were not showing you anything, and it was like the Grosjean wreck all over again. You were like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
And, Ryan, one of my new favorite features at this race, we saw it in practice and then saw it after the Mick wreck, where they bring out the ATV Zambonis to pick up the debris, where they just line up ATVs with like the rake tarp behind them to drag up all the debris.
Yep. Those things are actually pretty efficient, though.
Oh, yeah.
You got to use them at tracks more.
I agree. And because the most inefficient is what they tend to do, they send marshals out there and they're hand picking debris off the ground. It's like, that can't be the best way.
Yeah.
Do they not sell brooms in Jeddah? Like, what was going on?
Who knows, man?
So, Ryan, the exits from Q2 after Mick Schumacher's big wreck, you had, as we mentioned, Lando Norris, Danny Ricciardo, then Joe Guan Yu Zhou, then Mick Schumacher, obviously, couldn't make it through. He didn't put another time in, and Lance Stroll was the last guy.
I want to revisit the Mick crash real quick, not because of the Mick crash, but what the camera work was doing when they weren't allowed to show Mick's car. They went to the Ferrari garage, and they started doing like a slow zoom close-up of Antonio Giovinazzi, okay? So I know
Juan Yu Giovinazzi.
Yeah, so I know that Haas has two test drivers this year, two third drivers. Sounds ridiculous. It's Pietro Fittipaldi and Antonio Giovinazzi. So they were obviously zooming in on Antonio because I guess he will be the guy if Mick can't race or if they need another driver. They're just not going to touch Pietro at all.
Right. Pietro's there, I guess, just on name because, like you mentioned and we talked about before, they were so quick to bring K-Mag back and never have Fittipaldi do anything.
Oh, yeah. He's literally there to, like, fill a seat on the plane. That's it.
Yeah.
Another note about Antonio, though, and this is totally non sequitur.
His hair is looking great. Is that what you're going to say? His man bun.
He's such a pretty man that when he's like, I'm not used to seeing him in the garage. He's always in the car. We're used to him in the car. He was in the garage with his mask on. So he's got that long hair and a ponytail. They were zooming in on him. I literally, in my mind, I went, who's this babe?
Whose girlfriend is that? Yeah.
Who's this babe in the Ferrari garage? And then I saw the beard and I was like, oh, it's Antonio.
Yeah.
I'm so gay for Antonio Giovinazzi.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. He's a whole lot of man, that Antonio Giovinazzi.
Yeah. Antonio, slide into our DMs at Purple Sector Pod.
So, Ryan, it was interesting. So, Hamilton was exited in Q1, but then Russell made into Q3. So, he's the only Mercedes-powered car, right, to be able to dance with the big boys.
They're the only Merc engine that can get into Q3, it seems.
Yeah. And in Q3, Ryan, I mean, it was all lining up that Ferrari looked quick. Max wasn't able to really put anything together. And then somehow, out of nowhere, from the top rope again, we're making a lot of top rope
incredible
references. Sergio Perez, Checo, puts in an epic flyer. Like, comes out of nowhere. Like, I think he was even yellow in, like, the first sector.
I mean, literally.
And just started flying for the rest of the lap.
It was literally the lap of his entire motorsport career, not just F1.
Yeah, and I think he said that after, right? He was like, I could do 100 more laps, and I don't think I would ever put that together.
Dude, I think he said 10,000 or something like that.
Yeah. So the top guys after Q3, you had Perez on pole, then Charles Leclerc, Carlos Sainz, Max Verstappen, Esteban Ocon, and George Russell, not only just sneaking into Q3, but Russell, you know, coming in sixth in qualifying. It's very impressive right now. Mr. Saturday, we had that moniker coming back out.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder where Lewis could have been in qualifying if he hadn't, you know, fucked his setup up so much.
Yeah.
Because that, like, they were on different planets on Saturday.
Yeah, it's only two races, but I'm very excited and intrigued to see this George Russell measuring stick against Lewis Hamilton, right? Because
it's not a good time to be measuring anything right now in Mercedes, though.
Yeah, but they're still in the same machine. We hope they have the same setup. Granted, this weekend, it seems like they've diverged. I wonder how much of that's going to happen all year. Are they just going to both take drastically different setup choices just to try and shake things up?
No, to me, Lewis got lost in the setup because he was lost to begin with. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he is good at setting the car up. So the fact that this happened to him, he must hate that car right now.
Oh, you could tell he does, because after qualifying, before the race, he was already saying, like, I just want this weekend to end. Like, he was already had one
he was
foot
very
out,
emo.
Had one foot on the private jet leaving Jeddah.
They all know? Did. Yeah. They all fucking did, dude.
So, Ryan, in the pre-race action, Yuki Tsunoda, as we mentioned, he didn't even start the race because in, like, not even the formation lap, the lap just to get the cars on the grid.
Oh, yeah.
He was already having issues.
Drivetrain
like,
issue
we're
or
done.
Something.
We're
yeah.
done.
Dude, Yuki, my boy Yuki just got destroyed this weekend with bad luck.
Yuki, we hardly knew ye this weekend.
Hardly knew Yoda.
Yeah. We need to get Yuki back in Australia
the
next one.
That's
Ryan,
like somewhat of a home race for him, like as close to home as he can get before Suzuka.
Well, I hope we actually get Suzuka this year. There are so many races, Ryan, so many locations that have been, you know, mainstays on the calendar that we've missed for the last two some odd years because
Japan,
of COVID.
Australia.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited to get those back. So hopefully we get, Suzuka back for Yuki this year.
Yeah. And all you new F1 fans that have come into the sport in the last 2 years via Drive to Survive and F1 being the only sport that was going on in the beginning of the pandemic, you're going to find out if you're a true F1 fan with Australia, because the race, if you're on the East Coast in the U.S., the race starts at 1 a.m.
Oh, yeah. But it's also a very Formula Brunch-friendly race because everyone can grab some Fosters, even though they don't drink it in Australia. You have some Vegemite left over from when you went there
Love
for your
my
honeymoon.
Vegemite.
Yeah. So there's no excuses for the Australian missing the Australian
Grand Prix. It's
basically
Saturday night party race in the States. Like, you just stay up late Saturday night and you watch an F1 race.
Yeah, Aussie.
These were the races.
Oy, oy, oy.
These races were the ones I loved in college because they like started at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. You'd be at some house party playing beer pong. The F1 race would be on in the background.
Yeah, it was even better for me because I was on the West Coast or the Midwest, whatever you want to call it. So I had like midnight, you know, it was
perfect.
Like prime time.
Perfect.
Prime time Saturday night race.
The race ended right at last call.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You get your Fosters and you roll it right into the race. All right, let's grid up for the Saudi Arabia, hashtag Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Ryan, everything was coming up Checo. I mean, he had a great start because we've seen, I feel like recently, Max has had issues a lot of times on starts, right? He has anti-stall. He has all kinds of issues.
Relative to Hamilton last year, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Like Hamilton would get him a lot of the time.
But Checo was shot out of a cannon, and it looked like it might be Checo's day. I know our boy Emilio was expecting a big, big weekend for Checo, and it looked like early everything was coming up Checo.
Yeah, it certainly looked like one of those races, at least in the beginning, that Checo was managing everything well. He was managing the people behind him. His pace was good. But then he got fucking bluffed into a pit stop by Ferrari.
Yeah. Let's talk about the start before we get into the
I know,
the
I'm just
bluff
kidding.
Job. I know. We can't contain
so
ourselves.
So hard.
But Max was clearly had the bit between his teeth, as they love to say on Sky, right? Max gets around Sainz and climbs up into third place early on. Sainz, I'm waiting for him to get a grip on this car because I think he can start pushing Charles much more. Because right now, Charles is tap dancing all over Carlos.
I expect that to continue. I just, Charles is faster than him, generally speaking, and he's just a better qualifier.
Yeah.
So, like Sainz, it's going to be a tough, tough job for Sainz to out-qualify Leclerc every race weekend.
The other thing, Ryan, we can finally, I think everyone out there could put to bed whether or not the new regs,
the new cars are any good. Fucking work.
They rock. I'll say they rock because we had some ballsy-ass passes early on. You see cars, yes, just trains of cars following one another through every corner, through the whole lap. And we aren't hearing all the same shit we were hearing. Remember how often last year it was, oh, man, I'm getting squirrely, I'm overheating, I have so many issues. Like, yeah, these cars can follow.
They can.
And we saw it in, the same battle we saw in the first race. We saw the same shit between Leclerc and Verstappen at the end of this race.
Dude, they can follow closely behind another car for like 10 laps straight without damaging their tires from the washout of the other car.
That's the other thing, right? We don't hear as much about overheating, and we don't hear as much about like your tires are gone because you've been trying to follow this guy.
Yeah, and simply because they're able to follow closer, it's making it much harder for the car in front to defend.
Yeah,
because they have to check their mirrors way more. They see less of the guy behind them.
That's another thing I've noticed this year. When you get those onboards, do you feel like you've noticed a lot more? It's so cool to see the guys like really
whipping their head left and right.
Yeah, working the mirrors, trying to like identify what the hell's happening, where are they coming from, what's going on.
Absolutely, you know? Dude. The racing is
because
been
they're
awesome.
Under so much more pressure. Yeah.
I know that there's a big portion of fans that are not that excited about the cars this year.
Who are these people?
I'll tell you, Mercedes fans.
Yeah.
They are
not. Well,
that's
not, more the engine, I'd say, yeah.
They do not get a hard-on for the new cars yet because Mercedes hasn't been able to do much with them. But I'm sorry. Get over it.
So
the new cars are fucking awesome.
Ryan, a lot of people have wanted us to issue an apology to Valtteri Bottas because we're now Bottas boys.
We
now
owe
that he's out of there. No, but here's
we owe Valtteri nothing.
Yeah, but here's the other apology. I think maybe the world needs to apologize to Gunther Steiner because remember when everyone mocked him when he came out and made that comment and said, when Mercedes unveiled the tight side pods and everything, he said, yeah, that was our first mock-up. And then in the wind tunnel, it didn't look good, and the simulations didn't look good.
I still don't
believe
that.
And he might be right here. Gunther might
I mean,
might
right
be
now,
a seer. Yeah.
It's pretty crazy what's going on here.
Yeah. Even with one car, Ryan, Gunther is still scoring points, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So early on, Ryan, also, I mean, George Russell again, I think the bloom is very much still on the Russell Rose, George Russell, because he made an epic pass on Ocon in the first four laps. I think it was around lap four, got around Ocon. And then, Ryan, we were treated to one of the best spectacles I've seen in a long time.
An intra-team battle.
The Alpines just duking it out for like the first 10, 12 laps. I think it was around seven laps maybe. But they were battling the whole beginning, yeah, of the race.
It was awesome.
Was nothing but Alpine screen time. It was nothing but pink. Everyone saw, yeah, pink.
It was awesome.
And how great was it when the Sky commentators, you had,
they were having so much fun,
Crofty
with
and Brundle, they got Otmar Szafnauer, the new Alpine boss.
I love how I actually think,
by the way, yeah, claps for him
to Otmar.
I think if we have driver of the day, but if we had to pick a team principal
of the day, yeah,
it has to be Otmar. Because,
100%.
Yeah, you can break down what they were getting into.
I'm just going to throw this out there right now. I am like almost convinced now that Otmar actually hates Crofty. He always shits on Crofty on the broadcast when they...
Well, Crofty was trying to like
mitigate.
He was trying to beg. He was begging him like, shouldn't you give them orders here? Like, how dare you let them do this? And he was like, look, I haven't said anything to them. You know, they're allowed to race, and then we'll settle into our race strategy after this.
I just love the way
Crofty. And they know to keep it clean.
Love the way Otmar handled it, because Crofty, you're right, he's just trying to bait him into making a hot team order take live on air. Like, yeah, you're right. We need to tell him to stop. Otmar was like, we're going to let him race, and then when the race settles in, we'll back him off. And then Crofty was like, are you sure it's getting pretty heated out there? You might have to do it sooner than later. And then Otmar was like, you just wait and see, Crofty. You just wait and see.
No, Otmar was a cool customer, cool cucumber.
He doesn't
this
take
weekend.
Any of that bullshit from Crofty. It's so funny.
Yeah, he was fantastic. And yeah, that was a great sight to see to start the race. And then Ryan, we
Ocon with a fucking late block though. On
oh,
Alonso.
He had some dirty blocking on Alonso. We were both having flashbacks to
Ocon,
Checo Perez
Ocon,
and Ocon.
Checo, yeah.
Back in the day at Force India when they would like wreck each other out of races all the time. You know, I think Alonso is just too wily for that. You know.
Oh, you didn't hear one complaint from Alonso.
Oh, after the race, Alonso was just like, yeah, the race before. You know, we were on different strategies. This race, we were on the same strategy. So we just duked it out.
Yeah, he knows.
He was like, I just need to get in front.
Yeah, he understands. I have to go and get it.
Yeah,
if we're on the same strategy.
He ended up getting him, of course.
Yeah, and then bad luck struck, but we'll get to that.
Right. So, Ryan, then around lap 15, as you were mentioning, so Ferrari, I can't believe that Red Bull fell for the bluff because I knew it was a bluff before they even fell for it because who gets on the radio and says, all right, Charles Leclerc, box to overtake. Like, they basically were broadcasting, we're going to box to try and undercut Checo.
Yeah.
And Red Bull dies in. Both mechanics
they reacted.
Come out into the pits, right? You had
they
Ferrari
reacted.
Come into the pits. You had Red Bull come into the pits. And Checo dove in. I am so shocked that they actually did that.
What was it, two laps later? If Checo had just stayed out for two laps longer, he would have benefited from the...
No, one lap later. Lap 15 was when that happened, and lap 16 was when Latifi went into the wall and brought out the safety car. And Checo's race, sadly, was done at that point.
Yeah, and this is what's so fucking odd about it, is Red Bull, Checo and Red Bull, they have the lead. And they're maintaining
that's why
the lead.
I don't understand why he dove
why
in.
They relinquished the control when they know.
You know you can cover. Just pit the next lap and cover.
And everyone and their grandmother knows that Ferrari was going to be better on their tire degradation here because of their extra downforce. They were going to be better on the tires. So why would they take that bait?
I don't know. It still blows my mind that they did. That was really bad. And so Perez, his race, his whole Sunday is ruined. And
it just shows you, though, that pit bluffing works like 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Mercedes used to do it to Red Bull, Ferrari.
There would be lap after lap, the Mercedes guys would come out over and over and over and over.
They're the kings of. They used to bluff Ferrari like clockwork. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and they tried to do it to Red Bull in the last couple of years, too. So Perez's race entirely ruined. Safety car comes out. Then everybody goes into the pits. And it was just. Perez was over at that point. He was done. Done and dusted.
It was pretty fucking painful to see, man, from first to fourth, right?
Yeah.
And his teammate goes fourth to first. I mean,
yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah. So, Ryan, we had some action. Safety car restart, lap 20. Russell jumps Magnussen. Perez lets Sainz by on the restart. So this was an interesting thing.
Did you enjoy the Max and Charles Leclerc antics on the safety car restart?
I am starting to. I know it. Oftentimes, it kind of bites him in the ass what Max does because
he's
in
such
the first
a fucking
race,
bully.
I kind of love the way he just goes wheel to wheel and just it's just a. They're just revving back and forth next week. I love it.
What do you think?
I love it, by the way, because I'm so. Remember in the back in the day, guys would just hit.
It clearly works.
Sit behind. Oh yeah,
because he does
he
have
plays
great restarts.
Epic mind games with everybody. He did it in. If you watch Drive to Survive, right? The finale in Abu Dhabi last year, he did that with Lewis Hamilton. We thought he was going to get dinged because he was going past him.
He did go past him.
Yeah, he went past him a couple times. I love it, by the way. It just sets it up. It's Fast and the Furious in real life.
Let's put it this way. I've been watching F1 since 2006, and up until last season, I had thought that Hamilton was like invincible on restarts. I'd never seen Hamilton truly fuck up a safety car restart. Last year, in Portugal, Verstappen straight up bamboozled Hamilton on the restart. I never seen anything like it from Hamilton. So that just tells me that.
I love it. Just get in their eyes. Get in their
Max,
peripheral.
Yeah.
Get right alongside, even if you aren't on the clean line. Because remember, Crofty, by the way, kept poo-pooing it. He's on the marbles. He's on the marbles. Look, it's like, this is a dick measuring contest, right? And Verstappen's whipping it out.
But what do you truly think the tactic is there from Verstappen when he gets basically alongside the leader?
I think it's more the mind games. Like, guess what?
I think there is a tactic there where he's like, if I go beside that guy, he's not going to have as much room to warm his tires up.
Yeah, so that
really,
too. That's a good
really
point.
It really fucks with his head.
Because, yeah, you're right. Because back in the day when
he literally cuts the track
when
in
Vettel
half.
Would be behind Hamilton back when Ferrari was competitive 2 years ago, 3 years ago, right?
Yeah.
They would always just sit behind and Hamilton would always warm the tires and then boom, gun it, right?
Yeah.
You take that whole thing out of the equation.
Max is cutting the track width in half. He is literally not letting the leader get
right.
the tires
even
warm.
Even if you're on the marbles, when they start gunning it, you're not a car length, two car lengths behind, you're right alongside, right?
Yeah, but I also loved what Charles did. He was also smart in that the he was
yeah,
like
he pushed him way off the line, way off the marbles, and then gunned it, right?
Charles was like, all right, fine. You want to dick around? I'm going to keep you on the outside.
Right.
And then Charles literally drove him off track.
Yeah.
Like, he drove him off track before starting.
I'll tell you, the restarts now with Max's new bull tactic where it's the bull in the ring and he's right alongside you. Dude, I love Olay, baby.
The chess match that has been happening in both the races so far between Charles and Max has been awesome. I mean,
what
awesome.
Jumping ahead, what do you think about the reactions?
We're getting fired up here, dude.
Yeah. What do you think about the reactions just with Charles and Max? They obviously have grown up together. They carted against each other.
I know what you're
going to
say, and I know my answer.
What I'm going to say is,
it's early.
Just the demeanor.
It's
right.
early
yeah.
in the season.
I'm waiting for more bad blood.
There
because,
isn't a title on the line yet.
Right. Because last year, remember, every time you had Red Bull whining about everything at Mercedes, you had Mercedes whining about everything at Red Bull. You had Hamilton and Verstappen whining at each other. In this,
not
you
at
have,
the beginning of the season.
Right, exactly. But after this race, you have Leclerc saying like, oh man, great fight. They're just saying how great the fights are. You know, and we haven't seen a lot of wheel-to-wheel bangs. We saw so much of that with Hamilton and Max last year.
Well, I also just think it's hard to say because Max and Lewis were both so aggressive last year, but I just think these cars this year are better for wheel-to-wheel racing.
Yeah.
They're just better.
I think they're having more fun, and I heard Ocon make the comment after the
yes.
race. He said, it's like karting.
Yeah,
it's like we're karting again.
He said, when I was fighting Alonso, it literally felt like we were in go-karts, not F1 cars. That's
right.
Like how much play they had with the cars.
And the other thing that they keep mentioning on the broadcast, right, is that guys can fight back, which is
yeah.
karting, right? Like the old regs, it was when a guy gets around you, you're basically dead in the water, and they get around you, and then you're fucked. Like, we're seeing guys battle lap over lap after lap after lap.
Dudes, through two races so far, the new aero regs and cars are awesome.
Yeah.
And I hope it's like this the entire season.
And visually.
And all the years to come.
And visually, it's so much more stunning where you just see.
They look better
seven
than last
cars,
year's cars.
Seven cars, nuts to butts, you know, just like ripping through turn after turn after turn. Like, it's visually a much more appetizing product too. Right.
Right.
Than before, where it was like, I have to back off, or he has one shot here because he's going to overheat or he's going to rip his tires up
right.
if he goes for a pass. Like, now we're seeing nuts to butts, as we mentioned, turn after turn,
yep.
guys passing, guys getting past, then passing again. Well, we should get into, Ryan, DRS line.
There's one more thing on the checklist, though, so far for these new cars. We haven't had it yet. We need a true three-wide corner where three guys go in and only one guy comes out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because we had some of that last year. We saw it at COTA in person.
Mm.
The two McLarens gobbling up the Ferrari.
Yeah. Yeah.
We haven't had a three wide yet going into a braking zone. It'll come.
Yeah, it will definitely come. I mean, that's the thing. We're super excited. It's only two races, and I mean, we're less than a tenth of the season, which is awesome to say. You know, and the races just
yeah.
are gonna keep coming hot and heavy.
That's true.
So Ryan, we saw this. We have to talk about the DRS line because we saw it not only between Max and Charles, but even Kevin Magnussen and Hamilton were battling at one point, and
yeah.
we saw Kevin Magnussen kind of lay off a pass to get the DRS line. I don't know that it's an indictment on DRS in general. I think it might be about placement of the line, right?
Yeah, but after watching the race on Sunday, I told myself they need to change that line. They need to do something. But now, waking up on Monday, I say don't.
It's another tactic. It's fun.
It's created another angle in the chess game.
Right. And I'm sure you had the same. I had friends of mine who are probably newer to Formula One texting me saying, why did they both lock up into that one turn? You know? Because it was both of them playing the DRS line games.
Yeah. It's just.
And we saw the same thing last year. Remember with that whole bullshit.
That's why
with
Hamilton
Lewis
hit
and
Max.
Right. It was all them jockeying for the DRS lines. So yeah. It's another wrinkle. And they mentioned on the broadcast too, they were like, these guys are not only driving at, you know, 200 miles an hour, they're also having to consider,
yes,
where's the line? Where am I? Do I? We saw later when Max closed DRS early, when he finally made the pass because he was realizing, like, he finally learned, right? After the first race, his engineer came on at one point, his race engineer, and was like, hey, maybe try something different because you've done the same thing and you keep getting passed on the second DRS by Charles.
Right.
You saw him this time where he closed the wing to not give Leclerc the chance to battle back.
That's how tactical it was getting, as Max deliberately closed his rear wing early to not beat
He gives up
Charles
an advantage. To gain another advantage. Like, you're playing, it's chess now.
Here's
it's not
thing,
checkers,
though.
It's chess.
Now I remember why, after the race, I was telling myself they need to change it, put that line somewhere else. It's because, ultimately, I'm worried it's going to become unsafe. If those guys are being super ballsy about who's going to break,
right?
You know, earlier, what if somebody decides to cover the inside line, but also not give up the DRS line? You could have a really bad wreck.
No, I think for sure the placement might be bad if you have two guys slamming their... Like, this is Formula One, right? We're trying to go fast, but you have two guys locking up because they're slamming their brakes to not cross a line.
It's literally a corner.
Fake line in the track.
Yeah, you're right. It's F1, but yet it's a corner where it's about who can go the slowest
right
into
it. At this corner, you actually want to brake twice as early as you normally, you know, from 400 meters out instead of 100 meters, because you don't want the other guy to be behind you.
Exactly.
It flips it on its ear. You don't want to be ahead at this point, which is counterintuitive when it comes to racing, right?
Right.
You should not want to give up track position by slamming your brakes on.
Exactly.
Two guys are locking up.
Exactly. Especially if you never know what the guy behind you is going to do. So if, it's literally, they're just brake checking each other left and right in that corner.
Right. And Ryan, we had talked about in the preview as well, going to the retirement side, we did a fun bit where we talked about our podium and then who we thought would be the first three to retire. And
my answer is going to be Nick Latifi for every race moving forward.
I mean, this guy, and you heard him
that
on the radio
has
after.
No car control this year.
Yeah, and you heard him after. He was like, I don't know what happened. Where'd that come from or what happened? It's like, dude, you just put in the wall by yourself.
Twice.
Yeah.
This weekend, he had inexplicable offs.
But we were talking about, would there be five or more retirements? We obviously had two retirements before the race even started.
Oh, we went way over on that.
Mick Schumacher and Yuki Tsunoda never even took part in the race start.
This track is a car eater. This is two times in a row now we've seen it eat five cars or more on Sunday. It's a car eater.
Yeah. Then on lap 37, Ryan, you had Bottas, Valtteri Bottas, Fernando Alonso, and Danny Ric all retired with failures or issues with the cars.
Yeah, that was the rare triple kill on one lap.
Yeah, triple kill.
I can't remember. I don't know if I've ever seen that happen. Three different manufacturers retired on the same lap almost.
Right. And they couldn't even make it to the pits. Like, it was all the same kind of thing.
Yeah, it was almost like it was all happening on the same piece of track, too.
Yeah, Valtteri Bottas.
Hi, I'm Valtteri Bottas.
So, Ryan, this
That
created,
was wild, though. That was wild.
It created a wild scenario because you had Danny Ric and Fernando Alonso basically rolling their cars right to the pit entry on the track,
and
blocking
pit
entry.
This is ultimately what fucked Hamilton. I mean, he fucked himself because Bono on the radio said, come to the pits, but then Hamilton saw the car.
He just passed it, and then the pit lane closed. Yeah,
he had
passed the entry, though.
I believe he could have gone. I could be wrong, but I believe he could have gone, but he saw Ricardo's car parked right at pit entry, and he was like, I can't go in.
He's gotten dinged before when he entered when the pit lane
closed.
Oh, I agree
with Lewis. It seems extremely dangerous to...
So, yeah, we had a virtual safety car, and then the pit lane was closed after, like, two cars got in there.
But
Magnuson,
one guy slipped
one
in
other,
there. Yeah,
and one other Magnuson. Car, yeah. Yeah, so that worked out. So Haas nailed that. So then we got racing again, Ryan, around lap 42. Verstappen jumps in the lead, lap 42. Leclerc back in the lead, lap 43. This is like rinse and repeat. Is this what we're going to get for 23 races, where we just see Leclerc and Verstappen battling in the closing laps of every race?
You could, but I mean, just remember, like we said earlier, the race could have been much different if Checo didn't get absolutely boned by the racing gods.
Yeah, it was setting up to be a fun race because you had Checo on pole, then both Ferraris, and then Max. And then Max jumped Sainz, so you had Red Bull, Ferrari, Red Bull, Ferrari. I was excited to see the pit games, right? But then you had Checo and Red Bull fall for the bluff, and his race ended with the safety car, you know?
Right.
But I'm excited to see more. I actually, when you get more into it, I get a kind of excited for those games they play when it's a mixed up order and you have guys blocking undercuts and overcuts and all this, right? Because it changes how long guys run on the other teams. When you have a Red Bull right behind you, you can't play that undercut game because now all of a sudden, if Verstappen in this scenario, Verstappen's third, Leclerc can't play that game because then Verstappen's going to run away with the lead, you know?
Right. Look, the Verstappen-Leclerc battling in both of the races so far has definitely been really fun, but I really want another team to insert themselves into the equation. Because can you just imagine what the battling is going to be like towards the end of these races if a George Russell or a Hamilton have the pace as well?
Yeah, I think
it's going to be awesome.
That is one of the things to look at, right? We kind of are in the same scenario we've had for the last few years. Like a few years ago, it was Ferrari and Mercedes were the two teams battling at the front.
Yeah.
Then it was Max and Mercedes battling for the last couple of years.
Max Bull.
And then now we have Red Bull and Ferrari battling at the front and no one else really putting their nose in there. We're going to need some more battling to have our total number of different race winners come to fruition. Remember before the season, we were like, well, you know, Mercedes, Red Bull, and Ferrari, all their drivers are going to win, so that's six different race winners. It's starting to look like, how is anyone but Max or Charles going to win a race? You know?
Right. I mean, Red Bull and Ferrari are, as far as the car manufacturers are concerned, they're the cream. But Max and Charles are on a totally different level from Carlos and Checo.
Yeah. And so they're battling, Ryan, Max and Charles. They're playing, I was texting, they're playing cat and Max games with the DRS line. And then finally, lap 47, Max Verstappen jumps in the lead. Then at the very end, you had Lance Stroll and Alex Albon come together.
Albon with an absolute dive bomb into the side of...
And he got, I think, a three-spot penalty for Australia.
So he might be dead last.
He will. I'll put money on that or a Ferrari Trento on that for sure.
Yeah.
And the commentators kept trying to say that ruined Leclerc's race because in the last couple laps, there was a yellow flag. But who knows? Because apparently no one lifts for yellow flags anymore because they brought in like half a dozen guys about not lifting during yellow flags. And I still haven't seen any news about any penalties coming down on them.
Yeah, it would be nice to get a response from the stewards or race control about why double yellows didn't mean anything.
Right. Like you could see with the onboards, they were breaking it down after the race, right? There were different levels, like certain guys lifted by like a tenth, which means nothing.
Well, yeah, there's such gray area when it comes to double yellows. It like should, what is good enough for showing caution?
And how do you dictate what's appropriate, right? Should you say like you need to lose 0.2 in this, you know what I mean? Like you should almost come up with sector by sector how much time you should be losing. You know, give them an exact mark, but then they could play with that too. I mean
don't worry about it.
Yeah,
don't worry
it's an impossible thing. Michael Massey's head is on the stake. We don't need to worry about race direction anymore, right?
Yeah.
We got our pelt on the wall. So, Ryan, then the race ends. Max Verstappen hangs on. It was a tight battle, though, at the end. Like, Max was on the radio saying, how the hell is he gaining time on me through that set? You know, like, there were a lot of people on butt cheeks at the end of that race.
Butt cheeks.
We saw a lot of guys racing the line right on ass.
Well, Max was doing all kinds of politicking over the radio. He was like, he's going over pit entry line twice now. How did he get so close under yellows?
I'm with him on that, though, because to some extent...
Oh, Leclerc did it twice.
Both. Sainz was doing it. Both Ferrari were doing it.
So again, what's the fucking rule?
What is it? Because remember last year...
Yuki.
Yeah, Yuki got dinged twice. But he was going into the pits is the only difference, right?
It doesn't matter.
And then he swung wide.
But it doesn't matter.
Right.
That's
because once you put over the line, you're going in or you're getting a penalty.
That rule exists so that you can't... Partially, that rule exists so that you can't...
Fake.
Pit bluff by going into pit entry.
You can't fake that you're going through it.
Dipping back out. Yeah.
Right, right. And yeah, they... I mean, it was very clear, right? That the Ferraris were going over the line. They had
Leclerc,
two wheels over the line
Leclerc
to the entry.
Leclerc dipped a wheel over twice, clearly.
Yeah, and Sainz as well. So
what's the fucking rule?
That's the thing. I mean,
they dinged Yuki for Yuki's infraction was exactly the same, just on the other side of the line.
Exactly. I'm happy that we aren't spending as much time. Remember, like, at the end of last season, our pods turned into Mossy Sector. It was just like nothing but Mossy talk. I'm happy we're not getting into that as much, but yeah. I'm also worried, Ryan, because shit can start piling up, right? Because if you're inconsistent and guys take advantage and then you penalize, what are we doing anymore, right?
Well,
you have no teeth anymore, because you're going to start being questioned. Everyone's going to be, the conspiracy theorists will be out, right? If all of a sudden you decide we're going to start penalizing Max and Red Bull for going over the pit line, but we didn't punish Ferrari, right? Then everyone's going to come out. Ken Bila is going to hit us up and bitch and moan about it, you know?
We're not at that stage yet, and as much as everyone likes to complain on social media about the race control and the stewards' decisions, I think they've been great through the first two races.
I like letting them race.
There's no real controversies.
Them race. Let them eat race.
There's no real controversies
Let
yet.
Let them eat race, baby.
It's been good. All the talk is about the battles at the end of the race and how good they've been.
That's the thing. We haven't had to talk about soap off the track and bullshit with the stewards and the race directors.
I hope I don't have to hear you say soap off the track at all this season.
Because we've gotten so much good shit on the track, right? It's been fantastic. That's my takeaway.
Real quick before you wrap up the race, something we forgot to bring up from the beginning. What is going on with Alfa Romeo's starts? It happened again where Guan Yu Zhou was getting like anti-stall or something.
Joe Guan Yu Zhou.
The Zhou must go on.
Yeah.
And Bottas, better start this time, but not great. Something's going on with their start setup. It's not good.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing to look at. I mean, I don't know what it could be. It could be because I saw a couple guys have some anti-stall issues, you know, on starts. So who knows? I mean, how do you fuck that up, right? They practice it after every practice session.
You fuck it up very easily, dude.
Yeah, but you practice after every practice session. Like when it's something in the gear mapping or whatever, like, come on. You guys are so sharp, you can't figure out how to just get a clean start for your guys.
The only thing I can think of in regards to what you're saying is, when they're doing all this, when you see them doing all this practice starts in the practice sessions and at the end of quali, they're not on full fuel.
Right.
Right? They don't have a full tank of gas. So they're not practicing it with all that extra weight. And that must be the difference.
Yeah, it could be a factor. Ryan, some other fun facts here. So Max Verstappen wins the race ahead of Leclerc and Sainz. So you have Ferrari with another double podium. So they are just on fire to start the season.
Yeah, they are on fire in the Constructors' Championship.
And the other good news,
just
Ryan.
Walking away with it.
When Lewis Hamilton was winning a bunch of races and pole positions and everything, we got into a lot of numerology last few seasons, right? We have some numerology for this race. It was the 28th anniversary of Jos Verstappen's Formula One debut.
Yeah, and we actually got a Jos interview on race day.
Yeah.
And as I was listening to the interview, I was like, I don't think I've ever heard Jos talk.
Yeah. Yeah, he really hasn't spoken much.
He's
always there. He's got the slick back hair. Talk about a silver fox. Am I right?
He's like a silver brunette fox.
Is he more brunette? I thought he was silvery.
No, he's not that silver.
Maybe ashy? He sort of has like ash hair.
He's definitely ashy.
Yeah. Ryan, the other notables from the race, we had Crofty give us our first real mic crack pun.
I loved it.
He said at one point during the race, he said, quote, "As we look at Mike Crack on the pit wall." So it sounded like Crofty
was laughing,
mooning everybody on the pit wall.
Yeah.
He had his crack open on the pit wall, spreading cheeks.
Yeah. Speaking of cracks, Moon, why don't you play the cool down lap audio from our boy, Pierre Gasly.
Yeah. So Gasly, apparently,
Pierre Bad Gasly.
Yeah. Apparently, he had some bad shawarma as well.
Very good recovery. I hope you're feeling okay.
No. Oh my god, I feel like my intestine is gonna pull out of my body. Yeah, I'm sorry, it's been the worst last 5 laps of my life. Oh, I don't know what's happened, but so much pain.
So he had 5 laps where his intestines were trying to escape his body.
I mean, I don't know what's going on there. If he had about with the runs or, you know, whatever it was, stomach problem. But man, imagine dealing with that for five laps straight, just like relentless pain and discomfort.
It's funny because the Sky guys loved focusing on Nico Hülkenberg and Kevin Magnussen's necks. Yeah. Because they haven't been racing forever. And they were right. Making a bunch of comments with onboards with Magnussen. They're like, look at his neck. It was just like leaning on the side of the car. Like his neck was so shot.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, Gasly for five laps, apparently his whole innards were trying to escape his body.
Yeah.
Who knew?
A lot of downforce.
How do you exercise your intestines, Ryan, so that they don't try and, you know, we've seen the neck exercises. We love seeing those on Instagram.
Well, now you're going to see Pierre in the gym using all these elastic bands on his butt.
Yeah, it's funny because Gasly's the guy, too, at Spa last year when we had all those rain delays. He was the one talking about grill me up some sausages.
He's always talking about eating barbecue.
Yeah, so apparently something didn't agree with him, and his intestines were trying to... I think his intestines crossed the line before he did, it sounds like.
I think about this all the time whenever these guys get stomach issues on race weekends. Remember Lance Stroll had, like, diarrhea for three races straight?
Right, right.
In 2020? So, if I were an F1 driver... I would not gamble at all with food on a race
weekend. I might fast for like a week, yeah.
Well, no, I'd just be like, all right, give me my white rice for breakfast. Give me my white rice for lunch.
Rice and chicken. Yeah.
Yes. No. Fuck with chicken, dude.
Yeah, you can't mess with chicken. I mean, that's a real difficult issue. Literally, chicken, a lot of people fuck up chicken. I'm sure everyone listening has fucked up chicken.
Chicken is a great way to get in the same situation that Pierre was just in.
I guess rice and tofu. That's all you can.
No, fuck tofu. Rice and like toasted bread, and that's it.
Rice and sesame seeds.
It's literally like all he can eat. It's a fucking prison diet, but you will not get diarrhea in the car.
You're just doing burpees and eating rice and sesame seed.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay, so Ryan, my takeaways in the post-race action, again, we've mentioned it on the intro and during the beginning of the episode, the new cars continue putting on a show.
Yeah.
Putting on a Joe.
Let's go to our general notes after we talk about the podium. Let's do that.
Yeah, so the podium, Ryan.
Clarify something for me.
Yeah.
Was that or was that not the same exact trophy as last year?
I mean, I don't know if the dimensions were the same because it looked bigger to me.
It looked huge.
Yeah, and I appreciate, we both have agreed, we love when you have a comically large first place trophy and then third place gets a thimble.
A keychain.
We love that. Yeah, right. Like it comes with a carabiner on it so you can put it right on your keychain.
Yep.
We loved it. I think I'm with you. That was my thought too. My first thought was the trophy.
It looks twice the size.
Yeah, I think the trophy looks really good. I think it may have been snubbed by the Academy in the Sector Awards for last season. Yeah, the Purple Sector Awards.
So many snubs.
But I thought it looked fantastic. It's probably on the list. We'll have to wait and see what the Academy nominates. But I really like the look of it and the fact that I think it was much bigger. The Rosewater, again, it's such a dud that for two races to start the season, we've had shitty Rosewater sprays. You can't even say champagne or sparkling wine. Just Rosewater sprays. Just bring a soda stream. Give the guys carbonated water. Yeah. It'd be more entertaining than Rosewater.
If it's about not having alcohol in there, give them something that
super carbonated water.
They don't drink the Rosewater either. Right. So like put something.
You saw
in
at the end, right? When they're all like they took a little sip. Like when they have real champagne, everyone's taking sips. Sparkling wine. Ferrari Trento.
They pound it.
Right. But the Rosewater, no one's a fan, and it doesn't give us the show we want on the podium. Speaking of shows, we had talked about in our Grand Preview, Ryan, that apparently the bar was going to be raised in this race. The one thing that's been raised, they're clearly going to do that LED screen for the winning car at every race, right?
Which I enjoy.
And by the way, I'm very impressed. I need to know what screen that is because even the bottom is a bunch of screen panels connected. Mm-hmm. You have a Formula One car, they're even heavier this year, driving onto the panels and it still works. I feel like if I put a little too much pressure on my TV, I blow out the pixels, you know? You have a Formula One car rolling onto that screen and it doesn't damage it.
Well, the difference between those screens and your TV at home is it's not a Hisense or whatever.
Yeah. Whatever brand, Hisense, right.
Whatever brand you're
TLC.
Buying.
TLC. Yeah, it's not a TLC screen that they're using there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
TCL, right?
TCL, sorry. TCL. Yeah. TLC is Tender Loving Care.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, you're right. There's a lot of talk about some great post-race show, and
Yeah, they did fireworks, but I think I was wondering.
Cameras weren't showing it, and they were focusing on the interview.
Interviewing while you heard the fireworks going. I have a feeling, Ryan, it may have been muted because of the drone/missile attack. Because remember last year they had
epic drone show.
That was my thinking. You can't have drones flying through the sky after you just had potentially a drone attack 5 miles away.
Dude, I was actually specifically focusing on right when the race ended, once the Saudis just started launching all the fireworks, if like everyone in the paddock was gonna be like, Oh.
Right,
like,
have everyone freaking
out. What is that?
Yeah. But either way, I mean, I thought it was good. I appreciate the trophy. It looked like the scale was much bigger this year on the trophy. And I'm looking forward, Ryan, to some actual Ferrari Trento on the podium in Australia.
Yeah.
So what other general notes did you have to wrap things up here?
I'll just run through these real quick. So this is Lewis's worst start to a season in 12 years.
That's unbelievable.
Keep your eye on that.
And this is only the second time, I believe, in his career he's finished 10th.
Second or third time that he's ever finished.
I think it was the second, and I think the last time was like a decade ago. And he even on the radio was like, do I even get points for 10th place? Like, how does this work? He's not used to being back there, you know?
Right, yeah. So another thing to keep your eye on, despite how the first two races have gone for Mercedes, they are still in second place in the Constructors' Championship by 1 point.
Yeah, and you and I were talking about this. I'm getting vibes that George Russell might be what Lando Norris has been the last couple of years, where he's in that team competing for best of the rest.
He's the outlier.
And somehow he's like third place in the drivers, fourth place in the drivers, right? Right now, George Russell is that drivers' championship outlier, you know?
He is.
Can he keep it up?
We're going to now visit some of our polls that we put on our Instagram stories before the race this weekend.
Yeah, by the way, at Purple Sector Pod on Instagram and social media, make sure you guys keep interacting. We've had some great feedback from you guys on these polls, right? Some real good numbers on the interaction.
Great content, too. You're going to get a race poster from us every race. You're going to get a bunch of polls, see where you know the fans are at survey-wise.
We get the race poster before every race. We need you guys to help us continue editing the fan source Formula One Fantasy lineup, which is struggling.
It's just getting shit on.
We're going to have to keep tweaking that lineup, and we need you guys to weigh in on the lineup.
So we did a poll about if there's a surprise podium, which team is it going to be? And actually, the listeners voted Haas over Mercedes.
I love it.
And Alfa Romeo.
Haas gaining steam.
Yeah, the listeners voted Haas, but we did not get a surprise podium, unfortunately, as far as the teams. It was still just Red Bull, Ferrari. Next up is majority of the votes. 57% of our listeners said Hamilton would outscore Bottas. That was correct, but just barely.
Yeah, because he DNF'd.
He DNF'd, and Bottas would have finished ahead of him, right? So
yeah.
Next is 63% of you said there would only be 0 to 3 retirements. Boy, were we wrong.
Yeah, way off. I also cast, Ryan. I had a bet. I took a flyer on Hamilton plus money, I think, to beat Bottas. Because Bottas had qualified in the top 10. Hamilton was way down, so I cast
that. The listeners won you money.
Exactly. Thank you all. Ryan, I also wagered my entire account on over 1.5 race leaders because I just had a vibe on this fast track. And with the fact that you had Red Bull and Ferrari out of order, that you're not going to have all four pit, right? It would have been Checo and Leclerc pitting against each other and someone else. You know what I'm saying?
You can
tell by that running order at the front that you're going to guarantee more than one leader.
That's true. And I like that bet for this race in particular. But you have to be careful with that.
Of course.
Because race leads are classified by the start-finish line. So you could have the race lead.
Right. If they pit, then it doesn't. Well, if they give it back.
Even
up.
On one lap. You could have a lap where Max and Charles overtake each other 5 times. But if Charles was leading that lap at the start of it and he is at the end of it, it means the lead didn't change on paper.
Exactly. It's crossing the start finish line. But when you have a mixed up team lineup at the front,
that's great betting advice.
It's basically free money. So I was sweating it though because it looked like Checo was starting to run away with
it. You thought Checo was going to have like a Lewis Hamilton type drive where he just
sweating a
bosses
little bit.
It from red lights to flag.
I was sweating a little bit.
Okay. Let me just break down the retirement one again. So 63% of you said there would only be 0 to 3 retirements. Only 13 cars crossed the finish line.
Yeah.
Okay. You had 4 retirements, actual retirements. That was Ricciardo, Latifi, Alonso, and Bottas.
2 DNSs.
Then you had Albon, who classified, but he did not finish because he parked his car with the last five laps or whatever.
Mick never even suited up.
Mick withdrew, and Yuki
never started.
Did not start. DNS. So just an ugly weekend for car reliability, accidents, just a mess.
I mean, I know there's a lot of critiques for the safety of this track, but I think it delivers, man.
Yeah.
It's very, it plays so well on TV. I had so many of my friends around texting me saying, like, this circuit is awesome. Just
it is,
visually,
it's also,
great.
It's fucking dangerous, man.
Oh, of course it is. But we're racing. Toto, hard racing.
we went car racing.
Toto, we went car racing.
We went car racing. Yeah. Moot, pop quiz real quick. Two teams and six drivers through two races have no points.
Mm-hmm.
Name the teams, name the drivers.
Two teams.
That's easy.
Aston Martin and Williams.
Correct.
Yeah.
Who are the six drivers who don't have points?
Obviously, that's four right there. You have Nico Hülkenberg, Lance Stroll, Alex Albon, Nick Latifi.
Correct. And so you have to figure out two more.
Guan Yu Zhou scored in the first race,
correct,
actually.
So you need two more drivers.
Oh, let me think here. I have to think backwards. I think Danny Ric.
Correct.
And Lando Norris. Did he score in the first
Lando
one?
Lando scored here in Jeddah.
Oh, that's right. He actually did a
so
good
who's
job.
The last guy? You got one
so
more
Danny
guy.
So Danny Ric didn't, and...
So hang on. So far you have Stroll, Hülkenberg, Albon, Ric, Latifi.
Yeah.
There's one more.
Ric.
I'll give you a hint. He had to go to the hospital over the weekend.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, sadly, Mick, because Haas is actually racking some points up with K-Mag, but...
Yeah, and they're also racking up a pretty expensive bill with Mick Schumacher.
Yeah, and I was excited for this because we both have mentioned
Can you believe that they saved the engine from that wreck?
Really?
Isn't
the
that
whole,
fucking insane?
The whole back, the whole ass, the whole butt cheeks of that car.
Butt cheeks.
All the butt cheeks on that car fell off when it got craned up.
Dude,
and they saved the engine.
Formula One cars doing almost 200 miles an hour are safer than like me doing my Subaru at 35 miles an hour.
Yeah. That would have been, I mean, you can hit, like, you can rear end a car in a parking lot and your insurance company will say it's totaled and they save the engine from that wreck.
It's absurd. F1 cars and the safety technology in them is insane.
I'm very much, Brian, looking forward to, if we're looking down the line, I really, for me, this season, now that we know the Haas with the Ferrari power is so much more competitive, that you have K-Mag flirting with podiums now in two races, I'm really excited to see the measuring stick of Mick against K-Mag, because K-Mag is showing that he's a beast. Like, Jenson Button on the broadcast was talking about it, right? He was like, yeah, the guy fucking got a podium in his first race. We were teammates. He's an animal.
Yeah, when McLaren sucked.
Right. And he got a podium in his first race, K-Mag did. I'm ready to finally see K-Mag measured against K-Mag, or sorry, Mick Schumacher measured against K-Mag this season.
Yeah, Mick's got to come good because he's not going to Ferrari anytime soon if Carlos inks that deal.
Right.
Like, that's gone.
Yeah, the rumors have been spinning for a while that we've talked about that Carlos is about to ink a 2 or 3 year extension.
But the way Ferrari keeps saying, like, both races now, that they've said publicly, we're really close to signing Carlos to a new deal. We're really close. They keep saying that.
I think they need a great result from him.
They're putting pressure on Carlos while also putting pressure on Mick.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm ready for the European swing coming up on the calendar to see Mick finally, hopefully, get some real wheel-to-wheel action with K-Mag.
Did you have any other general notes here, Moon?
No, that was it. I appreciated the trophy seemingly being bigger. I loved the fireworks on track, off track, around the track. And I thought it was a great weekend, man. Two races in the Middle East to kick things off. I thought they were great. Now we head to Australia, which used to be the season opener, you know?
Right. Quick question. I have this in my notes. We didn't address it. Which of the three cars that retired around lap 37, whose was it where his steering wheel dash was just flashing, cool the car, cool the car?
I don't remember who it was.
Like, there was nothing.
It might have been Fernando, I think.
I think it was Alonso, too, yeah. But it's just so, when I saw that, I was just laughing. I was like, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
It's just, the thing is just screaming at him, cool the fucking car. And he's like on the radio saying, I've got no drive. I've got no drive.
Yeah, I think it was Fernando's where he had the heating issues, too.
Cool
and
the
Ryan,
car. Cool
I'm,
the car.
I'm just sad that we can't play this because...
Oh, yeah.
Because Checo got bonged out of this race, you know?
Well, let's go out on this song, though. It's so good.
Oh, I'll play it at the end. We'll do the regular theme for our outro, and then we'll drop the mariachi at the finale because it is fantastic. But thank you all for joining us, Ryan, for our Saudi Arabian Grand recap.
This race had truly a little bit of everything.
The cars work, right?
It was a mezze platter.
Yeah, it was. Hopefully you had a good hashtag Formula Brunch. We had some good feedback from you guys, sent us some good-looking Formula Brunches. We had some people who've been missing in the Formula Brunch game, Ryan, that dove back in. We'll have to get into those in the future. Mailbox, box, box. Remember, hit us up, 904-8-PURPLE. That's 904-878-7753 to leave a voicemail or shoot us a text. Follow at Purple Sector Pod on social media. Make sure to tag us in your hashtag Formula Brunch posts on there and slide into our DMs. And subscribe to the show wherever you get your pods. Rate and review the show. It helps us out. And keep spreading the word. Get some new subscribers because everyone's in now. Even people, Ryan, who used to, we talk about this, our friends who used to shit on Formula One like 3-4 years ago are now texting us nonstop during races. Yeah, I have to mute them to avoid spoiler alerts if I can't watch anything live.
Yeah, they always come around.
Yeah, everybody's coming around.
By the way, Antonio Giovinazzi, slide into our DMs as well.
Yeah, please, sir. Slide that ponytail right my way. All right, gang. Thanks for joining Purple Sector for our Saudi Arabian Grand recap. We'll be back later this week with new episodes, and we will be prepping for the Australian Grand Prix right around the corner, yeah? Oh, we're ready to head down under, baby. See y'all on the track.
Can't wait to go back to the Outback.